We're here on Where's Main Street as part of our week-long series, Finding a Way Along Route 9. This was a region once powered by its mills. Most are gone now, and Ware and many towns like it are hurting for jobs and business. And now they're hurting more, as the recession forces the state to keep hacking away at local aid to cities and towns. We're here to find out what the prospects are for Ware and for towns like Ware. We've pressed the gubernatorial candidates this week to see what they think the state can and should do for its most hard-up communities, and later this hour, we'll ask Republican candidate Charlie Baker. But first, joining us here on the sidewalk is WBUR's David Boeri, who's been in Ware reporting this story for weeks now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bob.
We've seen a little bit of activity this morning out here on the sidewalk, a jogger, a bunch of cars going by, the first school bus of the morning. But you've been here for weeks now reporting on what it's like and where. What have you found?
You know, as you know, I've lived in this area for a long time in the Quab, and it's achingly beautiful. You can't eat the scenery at the same time. These local economies are heartbreaking. You never get too far away from Appalachia here, and that's a reality.
If you look to the right and to the left in this four or five block long downtown, there are 25 storefronts, and a full 25% of them are vacant. It is heartbreaking.
It's really hollowed out now. You look down behind us, you see the casino theater built in 1909. I actually talked to some of the piano players. They had silent movies then. The joint was jumping. Everywhere along Main Street, you could buy almost anything and everything. There were department stores, men's and women's clothing shops, all kinds of eateries. And, you know, you look at it now, it's quiet. It's more ghost than town.
One thing that I'm always struck by when I'm driving into Ware from the west, you see this beautiful grand landscape, the steeples sticking up from the trees. And when you drive, when you see that, you expect to find something prosperous when you hit the town itself. But that's not what you find at all. How did it get this way?
Well, you know, it's true. A lot of main streets, a lot of downtowns have been hollowed out. But what makes Ware special and even sadder in some ways is that this place pulsed to the beat and boom of the mills. Right now you're hearing some traffic. Years ago, this street would be wild with traffic driving up to the mills because it all pulsed to the beat and boom of those mills that are just up the road from us now. They're gone. In the 1930s, the worst of the Depression, Life magazine came here, and they liked the fighting spirit here. The sign on the way into town is, town that couldn't be licked. But this town is sure taking a beating.
Listening to oldies on the local radio station, WARE, seems fitting for the drive into Ware from the east on Route 9. You can't get away from the past. Empty brick and granite mills are up for sale or for lease, one with a handwritten sign up front. You drive around a bend, cross the Ware River, and come upon a weedy, vacant expanse where some of the oldest mills in America burned down years ago. On its edge is a fortress from the 19th century called American Disposables.
Way back, this was one booming town. It really, really was.
Louis Desprez started the company 35 years ago. His factory is one of the last ones left in Ware, and he's struggling to survive.
Now see, this is the cover right here in the plastic, and I was talking about the glue, and it all comes together right here.
It's a small family-run operation with one short production line. From rolls of fiberized pulp, machines and a handful of employees turn out what look like adult diapers and hospital underpads. But seeking a competitive niche, American Disposables now specializes in a new product, training pads for puppies. In 2008, American Disposables had its best year ever.
We're running three shifts, 5 days a week, and sometimes 6 days.
The company seemed to have found its niche when suddenly its biggest customer, a company that supplies Walmart, shifted its order for puppy pads to a factory in China.
They're bringing finished product in here for less than we can buy the raw materials for.
Sales at American Disposables plunged 85%. and Louis Desprez had to slash his workforce of 42.
We laid off 27 people. First time I've ever laid anybody off. I tell you, it was tough. It was really, really tough because we're a small company, you know, and the people that work for you are like part of your family in a way. You know, and that was the tough part, you know, saying, we'll call you. Well, it turned out that some of them have been laid off now for 15 months.
When sales went up again this year, Desprez hired some people back, only to lay them off again when sales fell. American Disposables now has 8 employees and runs half-time.
Is there anything that can turn this town around or turn manufacturing around in this area?
I'll be darned if I know what.
It's hard to believe that factories on this mill site once employed 5,000 to 7,000 people. The power of its rivers put wear on its feet and people in its mills. One of the first towns in America to join the Industrial Revolution, it had shoe factories, cotton and woolen mills, then metalworking and carpet factories.
The mills would go day and night, 7 days a week. You just hear it, boom, 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 boom.
John Trella came to wear in the last wave of immigration that brought French-Canadian, Irish, and Polish workers to the factory village over a course of 2 centuries. They put church steeples into the skyline and pride of place into wear. John Mongeau worked in one of the same mills that Trella did.
Back then, you could get fired or quit one job and within 5 minutes walk to another factory and get a job. It was that simple. Jobs galore. Yeah.
Even in the 1970s, when the mills were well into their decline, there was still work. And American Athletic really did make skates and cleats for a nation. Mongeau brags about having made the skates for Olympic gold medal figure skater Peggy Fleming. But the company owner was feeling the stress of competition.
He went to Germany and bought 3 of these machines to make the shoes. And just about everybody that worked in the factory lost their jobs.
When automation still wasn't enough to keep ahead, the owner reluctantly decided to switch to Asian skates and shoes altogether. The last 100 factory workers were gone, and the factory became a warehouse relegated to the basement. American Athletic is now run by the former owner's nephew, Paul Opalinski.
How many people do you have now working for you?
We only have 6 people because it's basically everything's imported from China.
In come the goods from China. Someone opens the cartons, repacks the boxes of skates and shoes into another carton, staples it shut, and sends them off to retail customers in the United States for what was once an engine of American manufacturing. The mills that once employed 30 to 40% of Ware's workforce now employ just 14%. According to UMass economist Robert Nackostein,
there really are no prospects for what's going to take the place of the now departed manufacturing base.
In the new economy, Ware is called a bedroom community. It's a pleasant way of saying that most people have to leave town to find work. Route 9 westbound goes straight through the center of Ware, but the main flow of traffic turns south, at a right angle, as it were, to Main Street, and away from the factory village that once made Ware thrive. This is Route 32, and it's the road into Ware's new economy. It goes to McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts, to pharmacy box stores, to strip malls, one with a place called Family Dollar, the next with a place called Dollar Tree. The road leads to Walmart and Lowe's.
They're low paid, some with, most without health insurance. That sort of is the future economically of Ware.
Retailers are now the biggest employers by far, says the economist Robert Nackostein. Ware has become a place whose laid off factory workers get excited at the prospect of a local chain pet store coming to a strip mall.